Today, we are closing out our series that we've been doing on becoming more like Jesus, and we've been studying the fruits of the Spirit. And my son-in-law Brad, who's the consummate jokester, he's always doing jokes, pulling jokes. He wanted to so bad, and when I first started this, he wanted to buy a bunch of fruit costumes and have each fruit kind of come and have people wear the fruits to come up on stage. And I kept telling him, no, we're not going to do that. But today, in lieu of that, he's in New York. He had a wedding that he's at today. But for him and for you, I know that we don't have kids programming today. So I've just got a silly little video I want to share with you. So this kind of sums up everything, and it's take it for what it is. Here it is. Get the lights, possibly.
The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. You want to be a banana? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. You want to be a watermelon? You might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a lemon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a lemon. If you want to be a lemon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a cherry. The fruit of the Spirit's not a cherry. If you want to be a cherry, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit's not a grape. The fruit of the Spirit's not a grape. You want to be a grape, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Were you not enriched? Yes. So you get the gist. You get the gist. You can't be those other things. But the fruit of the Spirit, we've been talking about it for the last 7 to 8 weeks. And today we come to the close, self-control. Sometimes when you come to this thought of self-control, it's something it kind of comes in your head that it's something you're born with. It's something you either got it or you don't. You either got it or you don't. And we see people who have self-control with money and self-control with their bodies and self-control with eating healthy, and they've got good self-control with their phone. You know, their phone is not in their face all the time. You see people that have great habits with prayer habits, with the things that they pray, or that people that are there that don't get angry in the car and cuss people out. We see people like that, and we want to be people like that, but often we're not. And so when we go through the fruits listed in Galatians 5 of the Bible, and our wonderful puppet that just told us again and again what the fruits of the Spirit are, It comes to this thought of what self-control is or isn't. So much of self-help today gathers around this idea that somehow you can control yourself, that you can take charge of your health. And those are good thoughts, but they don't often work for most of us. This is, of all the fruits that we've talked about, love, patience, peace, all those things that we've just talked about, I think this is the one that is probably, we don't want the fruit of that spirit, but we want the results of it, right? Do you know what I mean? You mean, the picture I have is we want to go on nice vacations, but we don't want to put away money for it because we want a nice vacation. We want to go to church and be wide awake, but we've stayed up watching reels and stayed up watching too many episodes of whatever it is you watch on Netflix or whatever you watch, and then we get grumpy and we go, I don't want to go, and it just that control seems to go out the door. And the way I see it is that we don't want self-control, but we want to have the results of it. And that's where I'm living with it today. I believe this is where Jesus offers us a unique perspective. I believe Jesus gives the best advice, the best, because he made us, and he knows what takes us to where we need to go. And so when he made us, he knew that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's not a fruit of something I do. And oftentimes we look at these things that we're talking about of better health and a better, you know, discipline and reading the Bible more and doing the things that we really, really think we should do. We don't always often get it done. The scriptures say to us often that Jesus has a unique path to get to this point of having this fruit of self-control in our life. But this is, I want to say this again, and I've said this every week. It is not about this thing called self-improvement, because that is a craze that has taken our nation by force. And it somehow gets you to think that if you do this, if you go to the gym and you cut out coffee and you cut out this and you cut out that, that you're going to be this incredible person who has all this self-control. It is not about self-improvement. It is about spirit empowerment. It is about the Holy Spirit empowering you to be able to have this control in your life. Oftentimes when I have my lessons and my what we call sermons here, I always end with some kind of form of grace talk. And I want to begin with grace talk to some of you today, because some of you have already tuned me out when I talk about self-control because you're failing miserably, okay? And I want to talk to you a little bit about grace before we get into the meat of what I believe God wants us to talk about today. We have to talk about it. And the reason we have to talk about it is because it has to start with grace. Every time you talk about taking yourself and putting it under something else's control, you have to allow grace to seep in and be a part of who you are. Grace, in its essence, means this. It means that Jesus gives us endless second chances. He picks us up every time we fail. And some of you you look at yourself as this quintessential loser that tries and tries and tries in this one area. You have some control in other areas, but this couple areas, you just can't get it together. But today, I think it's important to start with this, to start with grace. Even though I failed, listen, you're not a failure. Even though you stumble, Jesus never does. We give it another shot and another shot and another shot because Jesus gives us that opportunity. So we have to look at this idea of self-control with these big old thick grace lenses that are bottle capped, that are about 3 inches thick, and we have to look at it through grace, and we have to give ourselves grace in this area. It is not about going try harder. If Jeff is talking about going and trying harder today, we all need to pack it up and go home. Because I'm not here to tell you to try harder. I'm not here to say, do better. That is not the message of Jesus. That's a burden that Jesus doesn't want you to carry. He wants you to have that grace to understand that you're going to fail, that you're going to flail, that you're going to be at war with yourself, and that sometimes you're going to lose, and sometimes you're not. So as we have our grace lenses and we look at Galatians 5, we're going to be bouncing around Galatians 5 and 6 today. There's a couple things that you have to look at. The first thing we'll see is that is a spiritual truth is this, that explains your experience. Look at Galatians 5:16. I think it says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if we're walking by the Spirit, if the Spirit is directing us where we're going, we won't do the things that just make us feel good. And that generally is how we operate. A lot of us eat that way. A lot of us exercise that way. A lot of us do that when it comes to prayer and to reading the Bible and the disciplines that God has told us about how to keep this vessel moving forward. It is so important that we understand this. You've heard this scripture before. You've seen this scripture before. And you feel like this is really that it's so important to understand where God is coming from, because when he made you, he understands your mechanics. He understands because he made the mechanics that are you, that are uniquely you. And so it comes to the next, if you skip ahead, and then we'll come back to this, Charlie. One more, sorry. Yep. There's a war inside of you, and that's where I want to go. Because if you look at Galatians, it talks about this, there's this conflict going on in us all the time. We'll go back to that in just a minute. There's this thing going on where the you that's listening to Jesus is going, yes, yes, yes. And the you that says, I'm listening to my body, is always at war, and there's always doing this, and it's doing this, and it's doing this. And a lot of you feel that. A lot of you sense that, and some of you are having some victories in that, and that's good. But look at these two scriptures that I want to share with you, and then we'll go back to that other one. Romans 7:23 says it this way, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and work within me. In other words, I become chained to this thing that's not the Spirit. And this thing that's not the Spirit begins to guide me, and it begins to direct me, and begins to make me so fearful, and makes me so uncontrolled that I do things and I participate in things that I never, ever wanted to. And so we have to understand that there's this war inside of us, and we're always going to be a battle. The Spirit is battling for us. And we have to understand that. It comes in the second one is James 4:1 says this, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? We begin to think that, you know, it's all about the people around us, and really our biggest fight is with me. It's me, because I want what I want when I want it. Anybody there? When the Christian talks about self-control, we're not simply saying it's about the dessert you do or don't eat. It's much deeper than that. I want you to understand when we're talking about self-control, it's this, that Satan is fighting for your soul. I'm going to get really strong and very deep with you for just a second. Satan is fighting for your soul. He's taking the stakes, and he knows how huge they are, and he wants to go after you. He wants you to be out of control. He wants you to feel just completely out of sorts. He wants you to feel that there's no hope. He wants you to feel that you should be so scared. He wants you to feel these things that a lot of you are feeling that you should have letting the Spirit control. And yet we have trouble with that. So there's a couple of lessons that I want to talk about when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's not what I do. Okay, let me get that out of the way. I just want to keep, because I don't want you sitting here saying, Jeff's saying, go try harder. Okay, I don't want you to hear, I don't want anybody to think that today. So here's a couple lessons I want to send you home with today, what we call a Memorial Day weekend. The first one is this. Self-control is about who you are becoming as a soldier for Christ in the war against evil. I want you to think about that for a second. Self-control is about who you're becoming as a soldier for Christ in the war against evil. You are a warrior. God has called you. We talked a couple weeks ago, you're an alien. And if you're an alien, you're a warrior alien. So that's pretty big and pretty bad. So you're this warrior that has a mission. And the mission is not to have a skinnier, swelver, this debonair person of you. Although those are good things, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the mission. The mission is there's people that are dying that need to know who Jesus is. And that happens when Christians, us, allow and employ the Holy Spirit to give us that self-control, to allow that self-control to take root in us and to do what the Holy Spirit does. Not what you do, what the Holy Spirit does in this life. It's not about becoming the best you that you can be. That's every commercial that's slated towards us. Just be the best you can be. No, it's a mission. You have a mission, and the mission is to kick the butt of the enemy. And when you look at it that way, it becomes a whole lot better, because it's not something that you're just, it's mamby-pamby. It's not something that's weak. It's something that is strong, and it's something that God does through you through His Holy Spirit. The point is this: God has called you on a mission to fight evil. And when Christians think about self-control, we're not talking about this a better morning routine. Because that's what we immediately go to in church. I get up, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read my Bible. Well, that should be baked into a lot of the things we do anyway. But it's not always that way. Because we roll out of bed, and the first thing a lot of us do is we look at our phone. Who's texting me? What's so-and-so saying about this? What's so-and-so saying about that? And we tend to take our gaze off the important things. And we tend to let other things guide us when the Holy Spirit wants to be the main influence in your life. God wants you to be the best missionary you can be. And the way you're going to do that is allowing the Holy Spirit to take control, to give Him that control. To give that space that says, here I am, Jesus. What do you want me to do next? Not today. What do I need to do next? Because if you ask today, you'll get off the train. I read this dumb little book to my granddaughter 1,300 times. I haven't completely memorized. It's called Toodles. Toodles the Train. And Toodles the Train, the whole message of Toodles the Train is he's on these tracks. And Toodles, stay on the tracks. Don't get off the tracks, Toodles. Stay on the tracks. But Toodles likes to go out into the meadow and play with the horses and play with the sheep and play with the butterflies and the dragonflies and play with all those things. Toodles gets off message. He forgets what he's about. And so the townspeople are going, where's Toodles? No Toodles. Where is he? And so they devise a system. They put up red flags everywhere. Toodles, don't go here. And he sees a red flag and he moves. There's a red. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit guides us and shows us. It is not us guiding us. It is not us telling us where to go. It is the Holy Spirit, us listening and saying, what's next? Where do I go next? Where do I go next? That's so important. If you can go back to Galatians, I think it's 6:1-3. That's a big going back. But if you go back to Galatians 6:1-3, I'm going to read that. Oh, it's right there. See, shut up, Jeff. Brothers and sisters, dummy. If someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. What a power-packed verse that is. It's just a great thing. I love the blunt statement that Paul makes. In the NLT version, Paul says, you're not that important, basically. He's saying, you're not that important, verse 3 or 4. You're not that important. Stop thinking that life is all about you. You are not that important. What is important is your mission. Your mission is important. It's important that brothers and sisters, if you're caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should help that person. But watch yourselves, because you're going to also be tempted to do what? To get off track, to go where you're not supposed to go. Carry each other's burdens in this way. You will fulfill the law of Christ. But if you think you're something when you're not, you're only deceiving yourselves. And so many of us think that our lives are so important that we don't have time to bend down to people. We don't have time for people. We don't have time to think about other people's messes that are going on. And that's not somebody that's controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. So self-control is about who you're becoming as a soldier for Christ in the war against evil. That's what it's about. There's lesson one. Lesson two that I want you to take home today. The focus isn't always the fruit of the Spirit isn't feelings. It's faithfulness. It's not always what you're feeling, because everybody says that all the time. I feel, you know, and we're guided by our feelings. And God tells us again and again and again in His Word, you are guided by doing the right thing. It is never the wrong time to do the right thing. Even when it's hard, even when it's hard to have that conversation, even when a brother is in sin, it's never the wrong time to do that. It's not about how you feel. It's about the thing of being who God has called you. Godly self-control, this Spirit-empowered control, is the focus of faithfulness. It's self-control if you're here today and you're struggling with purity and you want to be pure and you want to have pure thoughts and you don't want to always think of this when you see a woman, you don't always want to do something in your mind with that woman. It's about that self-control that allows you not to go there. Not to get off the track, not to go meandering in the meadows that you're not supposed to. It's self-control with your spouse so you can have this respect and intimacy. It's self-control with money so that you can help others. You hear that others have need and you want to help and you want to do, but you're so strung out, you're so liquidated that you have nothing to give. And then you start feeling bad and you feel guilty. That's why we have self-control, so we can continue to help and reach out and be who God has called us. So when we learn the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, we use it, we channel that, and then we let the Holy Spirit conquer that in us and take us where we're going to go and lead us in that way. So when it comes to self-control, the motive is not me, it's God's mission. And also, the focus is not feelings, but faithfulness. And lastly, one more lesson I want to have you take home today is this. And it's a good one. It's a very, just a sweet, sweet thought. Self-control, it's not about performance. It's not about what you do. Boy, we're so performance-driven. It's not try harder. It's about patience as God does His work in us. We allow God to do what He wants to do in us. We don't make it happen. So oftentimes, I think what we do is we find ourselves trying to manufacture little bits of God. And we do nice things for people, and those are good things, but are they God things? Because there's always a difference between a good thing and a God thing. A good thing has limits. A God thing has no limits. A good thing puts boxes and puts perimeters around it. A God thing, there is no limit to what God can do. And many of you have seen that time and time again in your life. It's had this incredible effect on your life. Galatians 6:4-6 says this, If now you're going to have to go back. I knew there was a time I was going to have to go back. Sorry. I had a short week. Let's see. Nope. Yeah, right there. Here we go. Four. Let's go to four. Each one of you should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Boy, that's just so many mouthfuls there, and I could preach a couple sermons on those right there. But the one I want to hone in on is about comparing yourself. Oftentimes when it comes to self-control, we compare ourselves to so many other people. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to compare ourselves to the people in our lives that we see. And our biggest problem is not always other people. You know what? It's ourselves. It's ourselves because we take ourselves and we hold ourselves to high standards. And without the Holy Spirit, those standards go really quickly. They go really quickly. They go right out the door. But if the Holy Spirit led, and it's the Holy Spirit wanting to do that, then they go forward and you find fruit in them. I had an apple and I lost it. I was going to bring it with me today, but it was the one apple that I had down at the camp. I left camp at 6 o'clock this morning, so I'm sorry. Somewhere between here and Brookville, there's an apple. And there's an apple seed. I don't know where it is. But anyway, pretend that I have an apple seed right here in my hand. And an apple seed is very small, by the way. And if you look at an apple seed long enough, you'll see that this fruit is something that is very good. I love apples. I love to eat apples. But it takes about 10 years for that seed to become an apple. It takes about 10 years for that to be able to bite it. It takes about 10 years for it to become a pie. It takes a long time. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when it comes to self-control and trusting God and comparing me to others and comparing me to myself, what I do when I compare myself is I look inwardly and I'm going this. Where is the fruit? Where's the fruit? I don't see it. It's been 2 years now. Been 3 years. I've been trying to do whatever it is I've been trying to do. 5 years. I don't see it. 20 years, I don't see it. And all of a sudden, one day, it just kind of pops up. Now it's time. Now it's time. The Holy Spirit must have thought this was the time. And so you and the Holy Spirit are in conjunction and you're working together. And you go, oh, there's the apple. There it is. See, oftentimes we're just waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. See, the important thing to understand this is that we got to have the other fruit to get to self-control. And that the Bible says that fruit is patience. I've got to wait. I don't always get. See, we live in this world of instant. You know, instant everything. My breakfast this morning was instant cream of wheat, 37 seconds, and I was ready. 37 seconds, and I had breakfast this morning, cream of wheat. 37 seconds, nothing. That's no time. We live in this instant age where we want everything now. No difference. No difference with self-control. And we have to be patient, and we have to wait on the Holy Spirit and not beat ourselves up, not compare ourselves, not take the circumstances that are going on in our life and going, where's the fruit? Where is it? That's not your job to be a fruit inspector in anybody else's life or in your life. And a lot of you you're running some thin lines on that because you're looking at people and you're going, well, they've been a Christian for a long time. Where's the fruit? They still do this. They still do that. That is not your job. Shut your mouth. Shut your pie hole. I'm serious. Shut your mind down and tell that thing to go to the pit of hell because that's where it is. And then yourself, when you beat up yourself constantly, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. Put yourself under the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what's next? What's next? It's yours, God. It's not mine. This is your life. I give myself to you. It's just not about performance. And I think we get so caught up in that today, about performing well. It's not about try harder. It's about patience while God does his work. And God doesn't always work on our timetable. He doesn't always work on our timetable. I'm very, I was going to do this at the first and I forgot, but I want to kind of weave this into it. A lot of you know Jeff Taylor passed last night. And if you don't, I'm sorry, but he passed and it was very unexpected. Jeff had a big influence on my life and a big influence on a lot of people in our body. And Jeff was one of those men that was constantly praying and seeking God and saying, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this in my life. And I'm open to whatever it is you want me to do. And last night, finally, Jeff gave in to that. And God has got him at home and he's in a perfect place. But the struggle for Jeff was so real and it was so raw and it was so hard for so many years. His health just deteriorated because of sugar and continued to take piece after piece after piece of his life. And that man spent thousands of hours, I'm not joking when I say that, in my office, in some other people's lives, in our church here. And he would always, one of the questions he would always ask is, when? When's it going to come? When's it going to happen? And today I can stand before you and I say definitively, it's happened. It's happened. You've got your perfect life. You've got a perfect place. Did it happen here? Nope. But the man had patience. And it sustained him and it kept him going day by day. Had an incredible wife that was by his side and married him amidst a large amount of health issues and sat there day after day in hospital after hospital and place after place for years, millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Patience is so important, and it's important to the Christian's life. We don't always get it in the form that we want it. We don't always get the answer in the form that we want it. But God is a good God. And no matter what you're going through here today, no matter what tragedy it is, no matter what pain, no matter what trial, no matter what health issue that's going on, God is calling you to be a person that's on a mission. You have a mission. He's calling you to do that. He's calling you to do that by being controlled under the Spirit, to allow yourself to be controlled by what God is wanting for you. He knows what's best for you. He knows the right thing to do. It is your job to get in line with him. It is your job to say to him, here I am, God. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve you. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what they're doing in Washington. I don't care what they're doing, whatever it is they're doing, whatever they're doing. I care about me and the mission that I have to be salt and light in the community that God has me planted. Anybody say yes on that? When I fall and when I fail, and you're going to, I think the way of Jesus is the best way that there is. It's that grace that comes around and says, get back up. Another try, son. Another try, daughter. Another day. You're still here. You're still breathing. I had my mom's, my niece had a wedding yesterday, and we were up at camp, and my mom was there, and she had an episode. And she's not here today because she's 90 years old and her health goes up and down. And she was just going on and on about, why am I still here, God, Jeff? And I'm like, Mom, you were 90. You just got to be at your niece's wedding. You know, what a testament it was. Well, I can't walk. No, you can't walk, Mom. You can't get around very well. Nope. But you still got breath. And as long as you got breath, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And a lot of you here, you got issues, but you can walk. You can get around. You can do things, and you're depressed, and the fear is just enveloped you. And God would say to you today, put yourself under the Holy Spirit and let him take the mission that he has for you and work it out, because there's somebody that needs you to be Jesus in their life. What do you think? This is why we need our grace lenses on, because we're going to fail. We're going to fail, but Jesus doesn't. Let's pray. Don and Jenny come up.